Radio Prague News.
Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek claims that he has enough votes to pass a no-confidence motion in Prime Minister Topolánek's centre-right government. The Czech Republic's entry into the Schengen border-free zone has accelerated immigration abuse, according to the head of the Czech Foreigners Police. And a group which seeks greater female involvement in Czech politics has concluded that male attitudes present a major stumbling block to female advancement. Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek claims that he has enough votes to pass a no-confidence motion in Prime Minister Topolánek's centre-right government. The comments were made during a press conference on Monday in which Mr. Paroubek threatened to call for the motion if the Civic Democrat-controlled Senate attempted to reverse health fee concessions passed last week by the lower house. The Social Democrat leader said that if health fee reductions are meddled with, without Social Democrat consultation, the current government would fall. Mr. Paroubek did not elaborate on which deputies would support him. The Social Democrats and the Communists currently have 97 votes in the 200-member lower chamber, while the governing coalition has 96. The remaining seven are independent deputies and coalition rebels who could swing either way. Four previous no-confidence votes called by the Social Democrats have failed. The Czech Republic's entry into the Schengen border-free zone has accelerated immigration abuse, according to the head of the Czech Foreigners Police, Vlastislav Husák. The Czech Republic joined Schengen at the end of 2007, effectively ending border checks. According to figures cited by Mr. Husák, around 3,400 illegal immigrants have been discovered in the country between January and November 2008. Further, the police of other EU nations had handed over 300 more migrants than in 2007 to Czech authorities because of expired Czech visas. Czech authorities also increasingly view the Czech Republic as a target destination for illegal migrants as opposed to just a gateway or transit point into the European Union. Ukrainians form the largest group of legal migrants, with numbers around 132,000. 1,428 Ukrainians have been revealed to be staying illegally in the country in recent months. On the upside, the Czech Foreigners Police has announced that fears of a rise in crime in connection with the country's Schengen entry have proved to be largely unfounded. A group which seeks greater female involvement in Czech politics has concluded that male attitudes present a major stumbling block to female advancement. The group, entitled Forum 50%, seeks to reverse the fact that the Czech Republic has one of the lowest male-to-female ratios of women in politics in the Western world. At present, women make up only 15.5% of MPs in the lower house of parliament and 17.3% of the Senate. According to Lenka Benerová, a representative of Forum 50%, women are often treated rudely, belittled, and even mocked when attempting to present legislation. The forum attempts to empower women by educating them in effective strategies to combat such prejudices. Supermarkets are misleading customers with deceptive and even non-existent discounts, according to a report by the news website Novinky.cz. According to the report, supermarkets such as Tesco use deceptive signage which appears at first glance to offer a discount from a previous price. However, the Novinky.cz investigation found that in some cases, prices were lowered by only 10 halers, in other cases, the before and after prices were identical, and in a few cases, the new discount prices were actually higher than the previous advertised prices. Responding to queries about these apparently misleading practices, a spokeswoman for one Tesco store implicated stated that simple human error was the most likely cause. And now a quick look at the weather. Cloud covers most of the country with sporadic showers in places. However, mild temperatures for the time of year, around 8 degrees Celsius, prevail. Clear skies are forecast for Tuesday. I'm Dominic Yoon, and that's the news for now.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague, broadcasting from the Czech capital with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up today, party politics make the future of Czech Army's foreign missions unclear. Czechs are splashing out this Christmas and increasing numbers are using plastic, not cash. And we have the latest news from the world of sport. Later on in the program, we meet Professor Jaroslav Blahoš, former president of the World Medical Association. All that coming up, so please stay with us. It was a humiliating defeat for the Czech governing coalition. At Friday's session of parliament, the opposition decided to show its strength by rejecting a bill on the Czech army's foreign missions. The move has put at stake the future of close to 1,000 Czech troops stationed abroad and has clearly shown the fragility of the Czech government ahead of the country's EU presidency. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
There was shock and anger in the coalition benches as the result of Friday's vote was read out. The cabinet fell 2 votes short of the 101 votes needed to extend the mandate of Czech troops abroad and significantly reinforce the country's military presence in Afghanistan. Just moments after the vote, Prime Minister Topolánek accused the leader of the opposition Social Democrats of having gone too far.
Jiří Paroubek ohrožuje životy a zdraví.
Jiří Paroubek is putting the life and health of our soldiers abroad on the line. Jiří Paroubek now carries personal responsibility for the lives of people threatened by terrorism, not only in Afghanistan.
Mr. Paroubek made no bones about the fact that the opposition's no vote was a tit-for-tat move intended to punish the ruling coalition for not cooperating in the matter of health fees and to remind the coalition government that it was no longer in a position to call the shots.
The government's idea of a compromise is to put a bill before us and ask us to approve it. But the situation has changed. This government no longer has a majority in the lower house. It'll have to accept that and act accordingly.
Parliament's refusal to extend the mandate of Czech troops abroad threatened to leave 400 servicemen in Kosovo and more than 500 troops serving under NATO and US command in Afghanistan high and dry, stripping them of the right to use firearms in their defence and leaving them no time to withdraw from their positions. Speaking ahead of a 2-day trip to Kosovo to boost the troops' morale, the army's chief of staff, Vlastimil Picek, said he was deeply shocked by the development.
I very much regret that this situation has come about. It leaves us facing a grave problem, and it is the worst possible signal to our allies. I don't wish to speculate about possible developments. In the coming hours, I will simply await orders.
Within an hour of the vote, the cabinet held an emergency session and used its constitutional right to decide on the deployment of Czech troops abroad for a period of 60 days, the maximum that it can approve on its own. The extra time will have to be used to negotiate a compromise with the opposition. 2 months is not enough to withdraw the country's troops from Afghanistan, and if such an order were given, it would not be a safe withdrawal. Czech servicemen would have to cross dangerous territory, leaving them open to terrorist attacks. Defence Minister Vlasta Parkanova has been asked to prepare a compromise proposal by the end of the year, and it is clear even now that the army can forget about the planned reinforcements. The Defence Minister has already expressed readiness to withdraw the Czech anti-terrorist unit from the American-led Operation Enduring Freedom by the end of 2009. Not good news for the United States, which is sending out reinforcements in the face of increased attacks from Taliban fighters. But even that may not be enough. Some say the minister herself may be dismissed within a planned government reshuffle. Whatever happens, one thing is clear. The opposition has sensed blood and is going in for the kill, regardless of the country's international reputation. It has offered the government a humiliating non-aggression pact, which the Prime Minister has angrily refused. But it is now clear that some form of close cooperation will be necessary if the country is to meet its international obligations, be they in Prague or Kabul.
Daniela Lazarová with that report. It took a while for the trend to catch on, but today Czechs are increasingly using payment or debit cards on a daily basis. According to data released by the Bank Card Association, nearly every Czech owns a payment card. Their number increased by nearly 950,000 in the third quarter of this year to 9.8 million, a figure that comes close to the country's total population. Earlier today, I asked Ivo Měšťánek of CSOB Bank about the trend.
When we compare the numbers in PSLB and for Poštovní spořitelná, we see a year-to-year increase, yes. The increase can be around 10 or 12%.
And why do you think the number has grown? Is it because there are more shops offering the possibility to pay by card?
There's actually more reasons why Czech people are more using payment cards, debit cards, or even credit cards. The first one is they got very much used to it. As they found out, it's more flexible to pay by card or to withdraw money at the ATMs than just to have a current account without this possibility. The second reason is there is more and more shops which are offering the possibility to pay by card, and the people are well known that there is no fee for paying this way.
What kind of cards predominate on the Czech market? Are they credit cards or debit cards?
At this moment, the payment cards are in a large advance than the credit cards, but it differs from bank to bank. If we talk about CSOB or Poštovní spořitelná, then the standard payment cards or debit cards have much larger number than credit cards.
According to statistics, the number of credit cards has been increasing, but still Czechs seem to be mistrustful, and compared to, let's say, Britain, we still don't use credit cards as much. Why do you think this is so? Do you think that Czechs are perhaps more careful with spending?
Well, actually, it's very hard to say it precisely, but if we are just thinking about the development of the market, we could say that the British market or the Western market as a whole has a larger tradition in using of cards. And secondly, it's probably a bit of psychology, because Czech people much often than the Western people are using loans for financing things like houses or flats or cars, which has a longer use than just the simple consumer finance, which a credit card mostly is.
Are young people more willing to pay by card than older generation?
Younger people have almost in all cases current accounts with better conditions, and as such there is a payment card as a standard part of the current account. So we see that they are using it very often. It's very often that the younger people are more willing to use payment cards when traveling abroad. But what we also see is that the older generation also learns how to use the advantages that payment cards give them.
Ivo Měšťánek of CSOB Bank talking about the increase of payment cards in the Czech Republic. A reminder that you are with Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech capital here in Central Europe. Now I am joined in the studio by Ian Willoughby, who has the latest news from the world of sport.
We begin today with ice hockey and the news that the Czech Republic have come third in the Channel 1 Cup in Moscow. After a fantastic 6-2 win over Sweden in their opening match, the Czechs lost 5-2 to the hosts Russia and by the same scoreline to Finland. In that last game, the Czech Republic were made to pay for their indiscipline, as they were served 22 penalty minutes compared to only 2 for the Finns. Forward Jaroslav Hlinka had this to say after Sunday's game.
There were a lot of power plays. In the first period, we found ourselves 2-0 down when we were short-handed, I don't know, 6 or 7 times. On the other hand, in the remainder of the game, we failed to score during our own power plays. That's what decided it, the fact we didn't make use of our power plays.
The Channel 1 Cup is part of the four-nation Euro Hockey Tour, in which the Czechs are in second place behind Russia, who have a big points lead. By the way, the last time the Czech Republic won a competition on the tour was in Moscow back in 2002. In the Czech Extraliga, three-time world champion Milan Hnilička has announced he's taking time out from playing for Liberec. The 35-year-old goaltender says he's been suffering from tiredness syndrome since the summer. But Nelichka says he isn't planning to hang up his skates yet, insisting he really is just taking a break. In the NHL, meanwhile, Patrick Eliash continues his run of excellent form. The left wing provided an assist during New Jersey Devils' 3-2 victory over Philadelphia on Sunday, extending his points streak to 9 games. Eliash has the most points this season of any Czech in the NHL. Another Czech who's in excellent form at the moment is the footballer Milan Baroš. Baroš scored a hat-trick in the Istanbul derby between Galatasaray and Besiktas, helping Gala to a 4-2 victory. Two of those goals were from the penalty spot, but either way, it's the striker's second hat-trick in a month, and further evidence that the 27-year-old has got his mojo back after a few poor seasons. Baroš is the top scorer in the Turkish league with 14 goals, and with only half the season gone, has surpassed his own record of 11 league strikes by Christmas, a tally he achieved way back in 2001 when he was still with Baník Ostrava before moving to Liverpool. Regardless of Baroš's heroics, more attention will have gone to a Czech striker in the world's most watched soccer competition, the English Premier League. Roman Bednář scored in injury time to give bottom-of-the-table West Bromwich Albion a 2-1 win over Manchester City. That's all the sport for today.
Now in the final part of our programme today, Colleen O'Connor speaks to Professor Jaroslav Blahos, former president of the World Medical Association.
My guest for One-on-One this week is Professor Jaroslav Blahos, one of the world's leading endocrinologists. Besides publishing over 370 papers on a specialist subject, Professor Blahos has also won several prestigious awards. Among other things, he was only the second Czech, after Jan Evangelista Purkyně, to be made a member of France's renowned Académie Nationale de Médecine. He has been head of the Czech Medical Association since 1993 and was president of the World Medical Association from 1999 to 2001. Born in 1930 in the West Bohemian town of Hradčovice, Professor Blahos spent his formative years growing up under the German protectorate. I started by asking him what he remembered of those turbulent times.
I cannot say we suffered, but we witnessed terrible things. For example, when the Jews were taken out of the town, we knew very well that they would be murdered. So it was very, very hard time. In fact, for example, we couldn't keep many things at home. I remember just once the German police came and they searched our flat and they found, I don't know, about 1 or 2 kilos of sugar. You know, we are afraid that my father will go to prison because of that, you see. It was nonsense, absolutely nonsense. It was liberated by the American army in 1945. And, of course, you can imagine that it was a fantastic time for us. From one point, it was a terrible, terrible time. From the other point, we had to be under stress, and it helped us, perhaps, to survive even hard times, you see.
You mentioned there the liberation by the American army. By all accounts, you ended up working as an interpreter for Fathen's forces. How did that happen?
Well, my native town was liberated by the said American army, led by General George Patton. And when he came to Hradčovice for one day, he wanted to meet the inhabitants. And because there was nobody in the town who spoke English, because my teacher of English was sick at the time. My father, who spoke English quite well, so he was away. So I was 15 years old. And so they asked me to say something and to translate George Patton's greetings. So it was near the town. There were many people over there, and George Patton came and said, "Hello, we are very happy to be here, and we found many friends here." So I translated these two or three sentences to Czech. It was not very, very difficult. So I cannot say I was interpreter for General Patton. But anyhow, I got the shirt from the General Patton, and on my shoulders it was written interpreter. So I was very, very proud of this. And then I spoke with him in my very primitive English, but he was a very, very nice man.
You ended up going to medical school in 1949, which was like an interesting time in this country because the communists had just come to power and were consolidating their grip. What sort of impact did that have on how you studied and what you studied?
We moved from Hradčovice to Prague in 1946, and I was decided to study medicine. But unfortunately, in 1948, communists came to power, and my father was a lawyer. He had an office here in Prague. They came to him, and they asked him to sign that he will be a member of the Communist Party, and my father resolutely said no. So immediately they stole everything in his office, you see. And my father, next day, was working as a worker in a factory, which he had never done something like this. So it was a terrible time, and of course, all his family suffered. For me, they decided not to study medicine and to go to the military service, you see, and to be persuaded that communism is the right ideology. Well, fortunately, after several months, even after the school already began, so I couldn't study in Prague. I knew that in Pilsen, there's a medical faculty, which was a section of Charles University. And they were looking for students because it was just the beginning of this medical faculty. So I was happy to go there. I was admitted to the medical faculty of Pilsen. And I studied in Pilsen for 5 years, and I finished my studies with distinctions.
Now, as a doctor and a scientist, one thing that has always been crucial for, you know, medical research and even all scientific research is the exchange of ideas and information. Was that difficult during the communist era?
Yes, it was not very easy to be in contact with the Western medicine. First of all, we couldn't go to the West, you see, and to see how is the medicine in America, in Germany, in Austria. That was absolutely impossible because we had to stay here in Prague and in Czechoslovakia. Fortunately, we had the access to the literature, and so we knew what's going on. But of course, we couldn't take many things and to practice many things which we knew that it existed already. Of course, as a young man, I was going to go somewhere, you see. And so the first occasion which I had to go abroad was to go to Ethiopia. Because when Haile Selassie, the emperor of Ethiopia at that time, went to Czechoslovakia, they made an agreement with our communist government that there will be an exchange of doctors because they needed doctors. So this was the only possibility to how to get out of Czechoslovakia for a certain time. And I had to leave, of course, my family or my parents and so on at home here in Prague. And I went to Ethiopia for 2 years then.
I've noticed from your CV that you spent the years 68, 69 in Paris. We recently had the 40th anniversary of what happened here in 1968. And like, were you outside the country when this happened? Or did you think of, you know, it was a time when a lot of people thought about leaving. Did you think about leaving at that time?
Yes, I was thinking many, many times about that. In 1968, in August, when the Russian Red Army and the Allies came to Czechoslovakia, at that time I was in Bulgaria, because in Bulgaria was the country which we could visit the sea. So, you know, it was my family, with my wife and my son, we went to Bulgaria. I knew from there that the Russians came to Czechoslovakia. And of course, I immediately thought that I could leave. But I knew that my mother was sick, and my mother was living alone here in Prague. And when she was slightly better, I just by chance got the invitation to go to study in Paris. So we decided with my wife, it was possible. At that time still, it was possible to leave Prague, to leave Czechoslovakia. There was no objections. And when I was, my mother was all right, I can say, relatively. She was quite old, but she was relatively all right. So we went to Paris. And then when I saw that the situation is very bad in Czechoslovakia and that there comes again this time of very tough communist system. So I decided almost certainly that I would stay in France. Unfortunately, again, my mother was sick and I couldn't leave her. She was alone, you see, and I had nobody here. So I came back. But when I came back, I must say, because of the excellent medical team, was not communist at all, ideologically. There were several doctors that were in the Communist Party, but they were not dangerous at all. These are scientists to be in the Communist Party, but they were not communist. That was the same in all the population. The majority of employees were in the Communist Party, but they were not really communists. They were just in the party because it was easier for their life and for their families and so on. See. But I have never been there.
Given your experience of medicine around the globe, what do you think of Czech medical standards and and the Czech medical system, and what do you think are its strengths and where do you think it could be improved?
First of all, I should mention that it improved a lot. It improved because of approach to the Western medical science and Western medical practice and healthcare. During the communist era, for example, medical ethics was not very important because it was not necessary, in fact. The ethical rules were given by the Communist Party, you see, and nobody could discuss about whether it is wrong, whether it is nonsense, whether it is foolish, not at all. So it was accepted because we couldn't be involved in the medical ethics. Of course, this changed completely. Second, it was the medical exchange with colleagues from abroad. So it's a great advantage, and we had no idea that once it could happen like this. You see, when we were under the communist system, we thought that we knew that it's from the historical point of view, it will last a short time. But of course, we also were aware that this historical short time could be more than our life. It was very sad to have these ideas. So we couldn't believe that from one day, in fact, to another, this will completely change and that we will be completely, absolutely free.
Professor Jaroslav Blahos talking there to Colleen O'Connor. And that edition of One on One, which was first broadcast in September, brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. Do let us know if you have anything to say about anything you've heard in the show. We also welcome any questions you may have, so don't hesitate to get in contact. The postal address is Vinohradská 12, 120, 99, Prague 2. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. But that's all for now. From myself, Ruth Franíková, and all of us here at the station, goodbye and take care.